buddy.
The weekends in the ATL are busy, and there's always plenty of sports to talk about.
Radio on the weekends.
And that's what we're going to do.
Hell yes, we are.
This is the ATL Show, keeping you up to date on all the sports in Atlanta and beyond.
Sports don't stop, even on the weekends. The ATL Show with Abe Gordon is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Abe.
Welcome in to the Kia Studios here live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon here. It is the Abe TL Show, getting you set for an evening of really a weekend still. I know we've had half of a Saturday, almost two-thirds of a Saturday of college football, and we'll talk a little bit about what we've seen today. One top 10 team goes down. Another should have gone down last night. That's its own different discussion. But we've still got some real big important games for the city of Atlanta. And I don't want to hear that Athens ain't part of Atlanta. You guys can shove it. Because the dogs are out there on Tuscaloosa time, getting ready to take out Alabama. And the Atlanta Falcons are going to be right here in our backyard taking on the New Orleans Saints tomorrow. It is an incredibly important weekend for football teams in this region. And the other thing that makes it almost tougher to talk about, at least for me, I don't have a great read on either game. I have leans. I have teams I'm pulling for. But, look, if I had to sit here and be honest, and I don't think anyone can really feel great about a declaration of victory. Now, I don't think dog fans tonight are overly confident. I don't think Alabama fans are either, though. They got a lot of questions, and certainly a lot of that probably revolves around Kalen DeBoer instead of Nick Saban, and that's fair because they got every other advantage, right? It's at home. You got a quarterback that's playing out of his mind, relatively healthy. Meanwhile, dog's a little beat up. We'll see if Mykael Williams can go tonight. But neither team feels overly confident. And I'll be honest, and maybe the NFL fans feel differently, you shouldn't feel confident about that game either. Falcons-Saints. I mean, you tell me. What's the real Saints? The team that struggled a week ago or the team that put up back-to-back 40-point efforts? How concerned are you about the Falcons' offensive line? How concerned are the Saints about their offensive line? It is a tough read. Alvin Kamara is a little bit banged up. DeMario's not even going to play for the Saints. I mean, you tell me. And so it's going to be a lot of pacing around rooms tonight, for sure. A lot of nail-biting if that's your go-to nervous tick. I think I'm a pacer. I walk around the room. What about you? I got Dom Cherosky here with me. First off, you don't seem like you exert nervous energy in a physical manifestation. So it doesn't feel like you're standing during games. You're definitely not pacing.
Yeah, I'm not.
How are the nails? Are you a nail biter?
So I'm not a nail biter. I'm a foot tapper. That's like the
The best you got.
So like
I do like that like just regularly all day. My foot's moving. I think I got restless leg syndrome.
That could be it. But yeah. Like that's my thing. Like if I'm watching a game and like I'm on the edge of my seat, like my feet are just going crazy.
Are you ever on the edge of your seat?
Yeah.
Do you lean forward, hands on knees, like back's not on the couch cushion?
Yeah, no, I'm
okay.
Full gamer position.
That's like your that's like your pacing.
Yes.
Here's the good news. At least on Saturdays, as a Gator fan in recent years, no need to pace, man. Who cares? Hasn't mattered at all. Not one bit. That's been the good news in recent years.
Yeah, no pacing or nervous ticks for you.
No, it just kind of is what it is. Been a little bit different for the Falcons in recent years and probably expected to be in that way tomorrow. I do want to talk about these games individually, and we're going to start with Georgia and Alabama here in just a moment on the ABTL show. I do want to welcome everyone in. Thank you for joining me. If you want to connect with me on Twitter/X at Abe Gordon on Twitter, I think both of these games are going to be very close and going to be very competitive. And quite frankly, I think they're going to come down to like one or two key plays. Both games, like, if I blindly just talked about a game and how it played out, I think I could sit there at the end of it and say that was how Georgia-Bama played out or that was how the Saints-Falcons played out. And obviously there'd be specifics that would let you know, like if I started talking, whatever, there would be specifics. If I started telling you that, like, the visiting team's quarterback ran for 4 touchdowns, you probably know it's not Derek Carr. You're like, oh, that's probably Milroe and George. So I think there would be some obvious discussions. But quite frankly, if I sat here and said, look, the clock management at the end of the first half and, that crucial third down call, late third quarter, like, it could be either of these games. I think both of them are going to be very close, very competitive. Quite frankly, and I would never predict it. I want to know. I wish I could, like, call up Vegas and get the odds. They could be identical score lines. Like, if I told you 27-24, which game is that? Yeah, it's probably leaning maybe a little bit more towards Falcons-Saints, but, like, what, with Georgia at, like, 24-21? Like, yeah. It's not that big of a difference.
Not at all.
Like these games, there's potential for them to play out very similarly and exactly as nervously for fans of all four teams. And that's the other thing. There's just no way a Saints fan feels overly comfortable tomorrow. There's no way an Alabama fan feels overly comfortable tonight. You may exude confidence. You may tell me that you got this in a bag, and that's fine. But in the back of your minds, you know better. And so do Georgia fans, by the way. And so do Falcons fans. But you can't sit here like an Ole Miss fan talking about this is going to be a blowout city and then see what happens. Like neither team is confident, and I don't think they should be. Let's get into it here for the Dogs, because I got a couple, I guess, things that they need to do if they're going to beat Alabama. And the first thing, and I've kind of been talking about it all week long, the last time these two teams met, Jalen Milroe won the game for Alabama. That was in the SEC title game last year, Georgia's last loss. And I think this is why, and we'll find out tonight if Kirby Smart is the best coach in college football. What did you learn about defending Jalen Milroe in that loss in the SEC title game a year ago, which you then saw Michigan defend him differently 2 weeks later in a semifinal game, limit him to a 116 passing and 6 sacks? What did you learn about how they defended him differently than how you defended him, and how do you implement that today? Now, you may not have the pieces, and I know that's crazy to say. You may not have the pieces physically that Michigan had last year. And so maybe you can't, especially we'll find out about Mike Hill-Williams, who's a game-time decision. You get Warren Brinson back, that might help. But you cannot be passive. This cannot be a situation where you let Jalen Milroe stand back there. That's what you kind of did last year, and he ate you up for it. Because you opened up the pass game for him, and then you also weren't able to stop him running. He didn't go crazy on the ground, but the runs he did have were important. Michigan went right after him. Attack, 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 and if he escapes the pocket, we'll deal with it. Guess what he didn't do, though? Escape the pocket. 6 sacks. Like, 116 passing. And so what did Kirby Smart learn from last year's SEC title game loss about how to defend Jalen Milroe? And do we see a different scheme, aggressiveness, game plan today? That's step one. Now, the most basic comment as it comes to Alabama is make Jalen Milroe go on drives. He is probably the best deep ball passer in college football. A lot of that has to do with some of those receivers, Ryan Williams. So the game plan there is, in my mind, all about making sure he doesn't get explosives. And Georgia's got one of the best secondaries in the entire sport. They are the defense that has given up the least amount of explosives this season. That's step number one. I think you have to establish the run for Georgia. You brought Trevor Etienne to be a difference maker in this sort of game. He's been used sparingly in the first couple of games, partially because of his own offseason actions, partially because he had, like, what do you have, like 7 carries for a buck 58 or something in that one game? Like, whatever. He's healthy. He's ready to go. You brought him in to be a difference maker tonight. You didn't bring him in to make sure you beat Kentucky or to make sure you handle business against Tennessee Tech. You brought him in to make a difference tonight. And I think he needs to do that, whether it's out of the backfield or as a receiver. Carson Beck has to play better. I'm not saying he has to outperform Jalen Milroe entirely. He has to be a better passer than Jalen Milroe today. You're not winning this game if Jalen Milroe is a better passer and a better runner. By the way, what if it's the flip somehow? What if Jalen Milroe's throwing it all over the place and Beck is cutting him up for like 80 yards?
Yeah.
Let it go, crazy. Baby. He can move.
He can move. He can.
But that can't be the game plan. So that'd be a great switch, though. I'd be interested. The other aspect in which I'm kind of projecting and I just don't know is how much of this Georgia playbook has been open and how much of it have they saved for tonight? I think there are wrinkles. I think there are schemes. I think there are formations. I think there are play calls. I think there are looks that they have not put on tape for a single snap this year. In fact, I'd be shocked if there weren't. And so it's about Mike Bobo and Carson Beck finding what's most comfortable to them. The other question is, who's the go-to? In the past couple of years, you've had a go-to in Bowers and a go-to in McConkey, specifically just last year for Carson Beck. I don't think we've had anyone turn into the go-to guy this year. And when it's third and medium, third and long, where's the ball? I think that becomes increasingly more important as this game continues. And so I'd like to see someone develop into that. It doesn't even have to be a deep ball threat. It doesn't have to be, but just someone that's a security blanket for Carson Beck. We haven't found one yet. And so we'll keep our eyes out on that. We talked about avoiding explosives for Alabama. It starts with one guy. It starts with the freshman, Ryan Williams. I said this with Garrett Chapman, who's here now, this morning on College Football Game Time. If Alabama's going to beat me deep with Jalen Milroe slinging it out there, it's not going to be to Ryan Williams. And if they beat me deep with someone else, I give my credit. But it ain't going to be Ryan Williams that beats me. I guarantee you that. And Malachi Starks is sliding towards Ryan on every play. You're going to beat me deep, that's fine. It ain't going to be the youngster. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, Alabama's got plenty of other guys that can do it. We've seen big plays from guys. Bernard had a huge catch a week ago. It ain't going to be Ryan Williams that gets me for a buck 40 and two. Someone else is going to do it. Very interested to see how this one looks different tonight than it did in the SEC title game. The other question, which I don't have an answer to, there's no Nick Saban. And so if Georgia has an advantage between coaches, DeBoer versus Kirby Smart, if there's an advantage, how does that showcase itself? Is it in play calls? Is it in clock management? Is it in getting your team focused? How does it exert itself in this game? I don't have an answer. I'm equally as excited as you guys are to find out. All right, we talked about one big football game. Coming up next, we'll talk about the other. The Atlanta Falcons hosting New Orleans Saints. It's a crucial, crucial matchup in the NFC South. We'll talk about that next. It is the Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon here taking you all the way till we get going at 6:30 with Atlanta United pregame on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
The Abe TL Show.
Your everyman's dream on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. It is the Abe TL Show live in the Kia Studios here. Getting you set in a couple of minutes. We are going to switch gears and get to the Five Stripes countdown. Atlanta United in, and I'm going to talk about it in about 10 minutes with my man Garrett Chapman, who's here to join me at the Five Stripes countdown. It is absolute must win for Atlanta United. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So we're not going to tiptoe past it. I don't think that they're making the postseason if they don't pull home 3 points tonight. So we'll break that down as we get to it in the Five Stripes Countdown, but I am still talking football. And real quick, I do want to say something in regards to the Atlanta Braves, because they've got some action going on tonight. The Mets and the D-backs are going to be in action throughout the evening as well. So some important things to note. Ronaldo Lopez is returning, making a start tonight for the Braves. Braves had a perfect night, if you will, last night. Not just Max Fried and his performance. Not just picking up a victory. The Mets lose. The Diamondbacks lose. And here we are. The other aspect, which I didn't get a chance to talk about on the air with Grant McCauley at the end of from the Diamond, the Royals clinched last night their spot in the playoffs. They did their whole party bit last night. Their starting pitcher, Seth Lugo, is going to pitch tonight, but he's scheduled for like 2 or 3 innings. And so they're not dialed up. Like, they're not focused. It's we'll take any bit of advantage we can get right now for the Atlanta Braves. So we'll see how that plays out. But right now I want to talk a little bit more about the NFL and the Atlanta Falcons hosting the New Orleans Saints tomorrow. It's going to be an interesting matchup. If I want to break it down to the most simplest terms that I can, I think it probably comes down to this for both teams. Which team deals with the offensive line injuries better? I mean, they lose a Pro Bowl lineman, center, in Eric McCoy. I think they're also missing another lineman. Obviously, the Atlanta Falcons are without Dolman, without McGarry. I think whichever team can operate their offense without looking that much different from what they would if those guys were there has a huge advantage. And so what does that mean? For both sides, it means running the ball. Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier versus Alvin Kamara. For both sides, it means protecting the quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr. And I know Derek Carr's got a little bit more mobility than Kirk does. But come on. Like if it were last week and Judon were coming around the corner, like, yeah, Mahomes may have gotten away from him. Carr wouldn't have gotten away from Judon. And so let's not overstimulate exactly what Derek Carr's mobility is just because he's doing it next to Kirk Cousins. Let's not overreact to that.
I mean, doing some Michael Jackson celebrations in the end zone will help you look a little bit more mobile too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I think Derek Carr's been a little bit lucky this year. Like, some of the touchdowns he's thrown have been, like, pick-worthy.
I mean, look, you scored 90 points in, like, the first two games. Yeah, yeah, it's but, like, luck involved in that. Yeah.
One of those touchdowns against the Panthers, he threw into triple coverage, and the Panthers are just not good. Like, Simmons yeah. or Bates definitely comes down with that. Yeah. And so there's that. The other thing is another week down the road, and Kirk Cousins has still not gotten it going with either Drake London or Kyle Pitts. Not to their best of the abilities. And I think that's going to be important for Kirk Cousins. You've gotten some touchdowns out of those guys. That maybe covers up a little bit what you saw. You got the big play to Pitts, the 50-yarder. That helps cover up maybe a lack of you know, chemistry with those guys. And I think Drake London's been there for a couple of third and fourth down conversions as well. But you really haven't hit your stride with those two guys. You are hitting your stride with Darnell Mooney, which is nice to see. But I think it just goes to show that this offense has not come anywhere close to peaking. And the other thing is, and forget about the record in the first three games for the Atlanta Falcons. They are 1-2. They could be 3-0. They could be 0-3. Make whatever arguments you want about penalties and missed calls and missed throws and time management and whatever you want it to be. Every game was winnable. Every game was losable. I think that's relatively a good thing because I do trust that this team will come out ahead more often than not. Those games were against very good teams. That's fine. Those games were significantly less important than the next three. The first three games were way less important than these next three. And it starts tomorrow against the Saints. It continues only a couple days later. Remember, Thursday night football against the Bucs. And then you have a couple of days to prep for the Panthers. You've got three straight NFC South games. If you come out of this 3-0, it is a huge, huge step towards winning this division. And it's a very fast forward. It's not even fast forward like the old VHS fast forward. It's the fast forward with the remote where you can hit it a couple times and it's X8.
Yeah.
It's like times 8. Yeah. That's how fast forward it is towards you winning this division and to putting the 1-2 start in the rearview mirror. And to me, that's why I haven't really been panicked about a team that starts 1-2. But you have to win these games, especially these two at home. And you can't go on the road and lose to Carolina. Never mind what happened in previous years. You can't go on the road and lose to Carolina. That's its own couple weeks away. You've got the Saints right now less than 100% in your building. You've got the Bucs on a short week, and they're going to be less than 100% in your building. You've got to win those games. And so I don't want to hear – the one thing I refuse to hear is you didn't have your starting offensive line. Neither did they. That can't be an excuse. There's no excuses. They're banged up. You're banged up. Be the better team. Figure it out. I think you've gotten better and better every single week. I think the defense is ramped up and ready to go. If the one thing that I have really, I don't know, approved of, appreciated, whatever the wording is, in the first 3 weeks, the defense has stepped up to the challenges. And I think they challenged themselves against the Steelers and did a pretty good job. Even in bad situations with the offense, put them in, kept teams out of the end zone. I think they stepped up and did what they had to do against the Eagles. And I think they performed admirably well against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, positioned to win that game. The defense has delivered. I think the offense has been okay. They haven't quite delivered to the level they need to. Got off to a slow start. We know that. That can't be the excuse. Like we can't sit there with Kirk Cousins after the game and be like, still working on the chemistry, still figuring some things out. I know we're not at our best. Like, no, you kind of need to be at your best now. Like, it's 4 weeks in, and this is the most important game of the season to this point, which is there's only been three to compare it with.
Far, yeah.
Yes. Until Thursday night, in which case that one will be the next most important. But, yeah, there's no more excuses for the Atlanta Falcons, and the offensive line is not one. You had a whole week to prepare. You brought these guys in for depth. And they're down guys, too. And so just a really key game. And as always, like get into your seats early. Get this place rocking. I know there's going to be Saints fans there. There always are. Same way there's Falcons fans when it's played in New Orleans. Like, get in there and make it loud. Impact the game. And don't get into a fight. Don't let me see you on Twitter X.
Like, don't be the post-game fight.
Just be smart. There you go. All right. That's going to do it for like a fast forward. Speaking of times eight on a fast forward version of the Abe TL show. But I'm not going anywhere. In fact, I'm going to welcome in someone, Garrett Chapman, here in just a couple of moments. The full the Five Stripes countdown is coming your way right here. Atlanta United pregame on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.